Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sakridya Darshitam Rupam. Etat kamayate naga, matkama shanakai sado, sarvam bhuchati richayam. O virtuous one, you have only once seen me, my person, and this is just to increase your desire, because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. Purport. A living being cannot be vacant of desires. He's not a dead stone. He must be working, thinking, feeling, and willing. When he thinks, feels, and wills materially, he becomes entangled. And conversely, when he thinks, feels, and wills for the service of the Lord, he becomes gradually freed from all entanglement. The more a person is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires a hankering from it. This is the transcendental nature of godly service. Material service has satiation, where spiritual service of the Lord has neither satiation nor end. One can go on increasing his hankering for the loving service, transcendental loving service of the Lord, and yet it will not find satiation or end. By intense service of the Lord, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in his service, because his service and his person are identical. The sincere devotee should go on with sincere service of the Lord. The Lord will give proper direction as how and where it has to be done. There is no material desire in Narada. And yet, just to increase his intense desire for the Lord, he was so advised. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, greetings from Govardhan Hill. And I have my smiling assistants here. Shana and Camila, who have been so kindly helping me for the last week or 2 weeks, and feeling that effect of the power of a holy place. When you are concentrated without interruption in bhakti over a period of time with the right mood, there's such a transformation in consciousness. We always say, I always explain how every object has a shakti, and objects and acts of devotion have a bhakti shakti. And when you engage with it, the love and the relationship grows, and that's happiness. Happiness is the love and devotion in our hearts. And there's a method and process to bring it out. So we're studying this story of Narada Muni. And it's Bhishma Panchaka. It's the last 5 days of Kartik. And it's so charged spiritually. I mean, in another day, in terms of the mass and volumes of people coming down the road in front of us, think a transcendental Puerto Rican day parade. it's just intense, with people doing kirtans and dandavat parikrams and chanting. And the Govardhan Hill, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita and according to the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, that is my form. So it's the largest deity in the world. And the object of meditation in bhakti is not just a prop. It's personal, so it responds. We've been walking around the hill practically every day, about 5 o'clock in the morning, about 2.5 hours at a really rapid pace. Everyone is barefoot, except I wear socks sometimes because I got a blister. And there's prayers, and there's prayers, and prayer is love, and love is reciprocated, and that's how bhakti works. Hesham sati tiyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhiyogam tvam yenamam upayanti te. For one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they come back to me. So we're really, I feel fortunate. We went to Radha Kund the other day, and when I go to Radha Kund, I go in the utmost reverence, which means before we do an hour of intense kirtan, we don't see anything. We purify our hearts. I remember coming out after the prikram and that, coming out, you know, the rareness of consciousness that's kind of your anxieties, which is just the mind. The anxieties are just the uncontrolled mind. How we watch it dissolve within the pond. It's like a miracle. You go in the pond, but I only let people go in with the utmost humility. Otherwise not, but a small group. Go in and watch while you're bathing in the pond, watching your mind dissolve, the material mind dissolve. Coming out as the real you, which is the servant of Krishna. There's nothing more beautiful than being the real you, which is the servant of Krishna. So that's been our experience, and we're having a lot of satsangs, discussing of Shastra, kirtan, and people are coming every day this morning. I'm just explaining a little bit my life. People say they sometimes like to hear that just a little bit. We'll get to the philosophy. But, you know, it's kind of like my temple out here with the cow dung walls, and often groups come. So the 25 people from Israel came this morning at 7:30, and we had just like a roaring kirtan and a little instruction. And so now just to the story, and each part of it is significant because it maps the life of a person who goes from no Krishna consciousness to the highest Krishna consciousness. And it's kind of a success story because the person, Narada Muni, doesn't start with much. He doesn't even start with a father. And that usually screws up a person. I've met one or two people in my life who don't know who their father is. And those are the kind of people you don't want to meet on the streets in New York. I remember one time hanging out in the street of New York. We used to hang out, and Joe Stiff and Rocco Crigliano came over. And, you know, said, you know, what are you looking at? You know, and I said something, and then they, you know, no one loves you. This doesn't, your mother doesn't love you, you know. And yet so screwed up when the family is broken, when they're not intact, when you don't have the parameter figure, the authority figure. You know, people either internalize and become judgmental or, yeah, you know, so many things. So Narada Muni, he starts that way, but with the association of the Bhakti Vedantas. Often when people ask me in spiritual life, I have such a difficult situation, this and that, you know, and it is in the world. People find themselves in karmic situations that are very, very difficult, apparently, even though they are sent by God specifically to bring one closer to Krishna. Even though it seems to be preventing people from Krishna, It's God's long-range plan to bring them to Krishna. And we get into situations where, you know, we have to work hard and we are busy and we don't have a minute and we don't seem to apparently have even the basic things that we actually need in life. You know, either the proper partner or the proper job or, you know, people ask me and I say, well, if I have to give one instruction, it's the last instruction I get, it's take sadhu sangha. Because that's the way we advance in spiritual life. Because advancement in spiritual life is developing our love and bhakti in the heart. And you only can get love and bhakti from someone who has love and bhakti in a relationship with that person. So that they open their heart to you. So that you can see them. I always have this conception that we have an inherent goodness, but we don't have it conceptualized or realized or understood until we see it embodied before us, until we see it moving before us. And then we want to understand it. And of course, the key is humility. And we had a long discussion with that in our sangha this afternoon. There's a sangha that goes on in the ashram. They read the Antya-lila for the month, the Krishna book. And I participate that in the morning from 12:30 to 2. But then Guna Grimarch comes to my room and the people who are helping me come. And we discuss. And yeah, humility. You know, just that fact to want intervention, to want direction from an authority higher than one's own desires and whims, to understand that there's a universal interest and that unless you are harmonized with that interest, you're not going to be harmonized with yourself, that concept. There's harmony, and separate interest causes disharmony. So happiness, beauty, etc., is a unity that's created when the parts serve the whole and experience the joy of that. So you have to see that to appreciate it, because intellectually, it looks like, wait, I don't bow down before no one. Why should I sacrifice my interest? How can I be happy? But unless you see love personified, you won't really appreciate the beauty of it. So he sees love personified, and he's humble. He has a natural proclivity to understand there's a authority for life above me that's natural and serves my interests better than my whims. Isn't that, even a moral man is what? A moral man is someone who accepts objective truths that are higher than his desires. That's what a man of character is. A man of character executes duty. Tom Wolfe, famous American journalist, criticized the 6 feet direction, that they never understand duty over self. Duty over self. It's not a bad term. Duty means what? That there's something, some agency, some authority, some direction that we are seeking intervention in our life from. We want that intervention. No, this is truth, not what you're doing. We want that. Narada wanted that. That is his quality. That is our quality. And that's where spiritual life begins. Spiritual life begins with that desire. looking for truth and the prayer for that truth within us. This was his quality. He wasn't highly developed in intelligence because he was only 5 years old. Psychologically, I'm not sure where he was situated because he didn't even know who his father was. I have to talk in my local vernacular. He didn't even know who his father was. He didn't know who his father was. But he attracted their mercy. This is the key to bhakti. That need attracts mercy. And that's humility. Humility means I have a need. I have a need for shelter and direction from a higher connection. And that humility, that negativity, not bad negativity, but the understanding that I am lacking without that connection, that I am in need of something to make me complete that's outside of myself that I am part of, which is called God. That type of view, that's spiritual life, and that's what our chanting means. Our chanting means when that type of heart is connected to our words. That I'm looking, and it's something that you have to catch on to, it's something that you have to hear about, and eventually it's something you have to be addicted to. Humility, entreaty, prayer, shelter, surrender, dependence. So from that core quality, from that core quality, so many things can happen. And the first thing that will happen is God will give you that authority and a higher agency through his devotees. That is the transcendental system. God will connect to the desires in your heart by sending his manifestation externally to give you direction. So that's what happened to Narada. And then, with that open heart and faith, then God has a plan for us. And God's plan is how to increase that faith. And that plan is called destiny. He moves the world around us to bring us closer to him. And to instruct us and to guide us. And one who has mentorship and one whose connection with Shastra, sacred texts, he can read that. What is the interest of God? And the first interest of God in this world is that we become purified and enlightened. So he does it in different ways with different people. And to some people, he does it by giving them the world. And to some people, he does it by taking away the world. But generally, Prabhupada explains in the purport that material life sometimes is like a fever. And to cure the disease, you got to bring the fever down. So sometimes the fever of material life is brought down by reverses, which force one Because when the world does not move according to one's desires, one can only seek happiness in a change of one's consciousness. There's destiny and free will. It's foolish to seek happiness in destiny because we're not in control of destiny, and destiny is not happiness. Change of consciousness is happiness. And change of consciousness happens by free will. So we have to execute free will. But we don't want to use free will when everything's coming up roses, when everything is moving according to our way. We don't want to change. The whole part of human life is that a human being can cultivate the mode of goodness. Prabhupada said it is the pensive platform where one can make decisions to change one's life. Animals do not have access to the mode of goodness, to the pensive platform where one can actually change one's life. So God wants to bring us to the point of changing our life, and that's the execution of free will. And that's the change of consciousness. And generally, we don't do it unless we are forced. So somehow with Narada, Providence took his mother, which was his only shelter. But because of the samskaras, the deep impressions in the heart, when you approach guru and sadhu in a mood to be transformed, the mood to be transformed opens one's heart to the impressions of knowledge and inspiration that actually reform one's mind. So Narada was just so humble and so submissive that so much came. It's the key to spiritual life. Sishaste mam sadimam tvam papanam. When Arjuna said to Krishna, I am a soul surrendered unto you, now please instruct me. And then instructions go so deep in the heart. There's even something in yoga where you can calm the whole body and focus the mind, and then make sankalpa or an intention, and you can implant it deeply in the consciousness where if you're not controlled, it won't have the same impression. So someone who's spiritually fit, instructions can change one's life. Just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was a very young man, somehow or other, he's a child, he saw a mango. He didn't know it was boga. It wasn't offered to the deities yet, and he ate the mango. And his father saw him and said, you've taken the boga from the deities. You were an offender. He never ate a mango again the rest of his life, even though it's the joy and king of fruits. He never ate a mango again. It is something of a serious soul, where instructions are embedded so deeply. So even though this destiny just changed so radically for Narada, he understood it as God's direction, that he should leave and wander and experience God's creation. And now we're up to the part where he began to meditate. And somehow or other, he got Saksha Darshan. He saw Vishnu. And then Vishnu disappeared. Then he tried again. And he was not successful. he did the same thing, but not with the same consciousness. Because he achieved success, so that tends to make you think that my work or effort achieved this. And if you practice with that mode, you won't attract the God's mercy. As when you practice out of a consciousness of need and desperation and entreaty. So somehow or other, the second time around, it didn't work. And he was devastated because the experience of the divine is the ultimate experience. It's the ultimate experience of happiness and pleasure. We may have experienced pleasure, but this is existential pleasure. It is God's pleasure. How great is God's pleasure? If we believe in God, how great is God's pleasure? And that same pleasure can be enthused in our hearts. Because that's what bhakti is. It's the essence of God's bliss potency. But the way God enjoys the bliss potency is when that bliss potency comes to him from those who want to serve him. So the happiness, spiritual happiness, is the same happiness that God has. So how great is that happiness? And Narada Muni experienced that happiness. So how great is that happiness? How great is that happiness that Narada experienced? And when he lost it, he was devastated. But again, that feeling of loss, that feeling of need, that feeling of want, that expression of the heart attracted God's mercy again, but this time in the term of God's voice, in terms of God's voice. And he told him, you won't see it again in this lifetime because you're not pure. You can't enter that plane of God with impurity. You're not pure. And what was his impurity? It was some material taint. And what was the taint? He was attached to goodness. He wanted the peace. He wanted peace. He liked the Himalayas. But that's for yourself, and that's not completely spiritual. Spiritual is love. Spiritual is sacrifice. Camilo, you can just take rest. It's okay. No, really. If you're tired, it's not a problem. We've been working you guys hard today. No, seriously. And then you'll go up with Shana. You can just lay down and relax. Okay. So he was not complete in service. It meant the attitude of service that comes from the execution of service. You have to do more service. Bhakti sanjayate bhakti. As you do service, and Prabhupada here in the purport says, what service does, it develops an attraction to service, a hankering. And spiritual perfection is completely based on one's desire. You have to come to the point of ashakti. And what a Shakti is the voice of spiritual voice in your heart of wanting God and wanting to serve God and wanting to love God and wanting to surrender to God. It becomes all-consuming within the consciousness. And it's so loud that it's so loud that it attracts the mercy of Krishna in the form of his Ladini Sambhit Shakti. You get Bhava Bhakti. You get, and that can always increase. And in that service, you experience God. Because we're not separated from God by a physical distance. We're separated from God by consciousness. If we want God, God is there. And the reason we're not seeing God is that we really don't want him. Not that you can take a spaceship and go back to the spiritual world. And that was the message of Uddhava to the gopis. He said, I am there in my Baba manifestation. In your love for me, I am there. And Krishna is telling why he disappeared. Because it increases one's desire. And that's what spiritual life is. It's a desire. And it's a pure desire. It's a desire for love. Okay, we'll do one more verse. The next one, 23, and then we'll have some questions at this time. The Sevaya Digayapi Jatamai Jutamati Ifavadyam Imam Lokam Gantamad Janatam Masi. By service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up this present deplorable material world. So what's recommended is service. By service, real service, even for a few days, one can mati dridha, have fixed up intelligence. So serving the Absolute Truth, purport, means rendering service unto the Absolute Personality of Godhead under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master who is a transparent via medium between the Lord and the neophyte devotee. Transparent, I give the example of spectacle. It's something you put between an object to enable you to see more. Guru means the right fit. It's the teachings and it's the instructions that enable us to see God and see ourselves. And it's the inspiration on how we give ourselves to God, how we serve. Inspiration for the service, the description of the service, and a description of the result of serving. We become inspired. The neophyte devotee has no ability to approach the Absolute Personality of Godhead by the strength of his present imperfect material senses. And therefore, under the direction of the spiritual master, he is trained in transcendental service of the Lord. And by such training, even for some days, the neophyte devotee gets intelligence in transcendental service, which leads him ultimately to get free from the perpetual inhabitation of the material world and to be promoted to the transcendental world, to become one of the liberated associates of the Lord in the kingdom of God. So it says, even for a few days, for its training, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra hoy, lava mata, sarva sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. Lava matra means even a fraction. It's not even a second. It can give you perfection if you have faith. If someone impresses something upon you, it can completely change your whole faith and perspective. That's described, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Beej. We get the Bhakti Lata Beej from the association of a devotee. And it's an infusion of inspiration and conception and faith that the highest sublimity is to serve God. And it can happen in just a few days with a powerful person that reorders the lens of our mind. It's almost like they quickly give you glasses and you can see. You can see quickly, and it's like, aha, it's an epiphany. Aha, yes, this is reality. This is truth. And I dedicate my life to it. That happened with Srila Prabhupada in Bhakti Siddhanta. He went to see his guru. And he said to his guru, he said, who will listen to us? Because Prabhupada was a Gandhian. He said, who will listen to us? Because we're subjected by the British. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, Krishna consciousness is so urgent, it can't wait for a political change. And political changes mean very, very little. Often. Sometimes they can mean a lot. But often, they mean very little. Republican, Democrat, this change, Indian rule, British Raj, Indian government. Bhakti Siddhanta didn't care about that. He didn't see in terms of nationalism, Indians, British. He just saw that there should be some efficiency in management that would protect those who want to cultivate spiritual life. So Bhakti Siddhanta said, it can't wait for a political change. He said, speak English. Why don't you preach in the West? Prabhupada's intelligence became fixed just by that association. When you have a sense of truth presented with conviction can completely reorder your mind in a very, very powerful way. So somehow or other, this happened to Prabhupada. And I always say that, you know, spiritual life, it's not so much about time. It's about receptivity. And I give the example of a stone in water. It can be in water for so long, but you put in a piece of cotton, and the cotton will immediately absorb more water than the stone can in 100,000 years. So that's our consciousness. Somehow or other, a powerful person could give faith. It's called religious experience. Somehow or other, we're at a point of our lives where we lost faith in material life. We lost faith. I know when we grew up in the 50s, because I was born in 1950, so it was after the war, and there was great prosperity, there was great happiness, there was great optimism in America, and the people took to the materialistic way of life. And when I grew up and I saw my parents' life, I was not impressed. that this was actually sublimity or happiness. I remember my first realization. I was sitting in a car with my best friend, Jan Potemkin, on Seaview Avenue. So 90s, I forgot. And when we looked at it, I just said, there has to be something better than this. So that receptivity, just like, how did Balaram appear in the womb of Mother Yasoda? First, Kamsa killed the six other children who were the Garbhasaras. They were demons that took birth. And they represented lust, anger, illusion, madness, fear. And Kamsa represented material fear. And killed them. So what happens is, when you follow a life of separate interests, a separate interest with greed and lust and anger, all separate interests, it brings you onto the bodily platform and fear of death. It brings you hopelessness and despondency. And in that condition, then Guru comes. When we say there has to be something better than this, then Guru comes. It's like I was speaking today in the Bhakti Center. This one girl came from Mexico, from a good family. And I was speaking today to her on Skype. She requested to speak to me. And, in the Bhakti Center, we don't confront people and try to change their minds. We just present things and people come out. Sometimes you don't know who's changing and what. But I saw, and she spoke to me. And, of course, she went to Mexico and went to the temple. And she didn't find the same spirit as the Bhakti Center. So she's trying to find some association. But I was so happy to hear. She said, I went to New York to further my studies and, partying and this, and now I'm back and my friends are saying, why don't you smoke? Let's go drink. Let's go this. And she had a realization that these things don't lead to happiness. There's a verse in the Bhagavad, Parabhava Sabhuti. The insanity of material life is we're seeking happiness in the things that cause us misery. And misery is material indulgence because it absorbs us in the material conception of life. And I read a statement that's beautiful. A pinch of pain is felt more than a ton of happiness. So if you get happiness, material pleasure, you'll experience the pain of life more acutely. You can be the richest man in the world, you get a toothache. The poorest man in the world is happy with you that has a good set of teeth. So when that you come to that point, then you're receptive. So I saw this lady just somehow the conviction came. And faith is such a thing. It's not an intellectual experience. It's a manifestation of the soul. It's so real. Love of Godhead is real. It's an experience. It's just you're perceiving it in another way. It's not with the senses, it's intuitive. It's real. And that conviction, that experience can come from a powerful devotee. So he's telling that now. Narada's explaining to Vyas what happened. That intelligence can't be thwarted. That's faith. Okay, we'll stop here for today. 1 second. I have to unmute. 1 second.
Swamiji, I don't know if it's complicated, but if anyone would like to ask a question, please do.
Maharaj? Maharaj, do you hear me? Maharaj?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Mahamuni. Thank
you. Who's it?
It's Mahamuni.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you for your
please
class.
Ask.
Do you hear me okay right now?
I can hear you okay. Yes, I can. Yeah.
Okay. I really appreciated the point you made in the class, Marge, that in a way it's like the most important thing to do is find a way to awaken that kind of desperation that that gives us an opening for God in the heart, you know? And I was remembering how you and I have often here and there talked about karma yoga, or just how is it that you find a way to connect with contemplation while we're acting. And it just struck me during your class that there's a way in which if this desperation is there, then everything else is fairly easy, right? Like you go through the day, if you have that desperation and you find a way to see these each event or little events as ways of opening ourselves up to God. Does that make sense to you? Like, I guess it just struck me during your class how this desperation seems to be the key.
You're talking how God moves around us, and then sometimes he brings us to a point of futility without him. You know, futility without some consciousness, without some thought, without some prayer. So, yeah, it's one of the main ways in which God actually moves us towards him. You know, and because it's emotion, it opens the heart, you know, and sometimes or other, unless we come to that frustration, you know, and it's not like coming to frustration, it's actually realizing something. The frustration is not something that's changing a good situation. It's making us realize what the bad situation is, that actually it's futile. What have I gotten from this life without some thought, without some dedication, without some service? You know, so yeah, I think it's a good point. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Marge. It's been it kind of everything makes more sense. It's funny. I'm reading some old stories about the lives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and you know, just the way they lived and their humility. It all once we appreciate how they had this sense of desperation, everything makes sense. But if you don't see that, then it all seems really strange, like from a mundane perspective, right? To just be saying, no, 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 I need your mercy, things like that. It seems very odd unless that core sense of urgency or dependence is there. So it anyway, I really appreciated the point. Thank you.
It just seems like a game of I am more humble or I am humble. But actually,
right.
And I always remember the story of Dr. Fakir Mohan, you know, and when he came to see my friend's mother, and he paid his obeisances to the mother, you know, and then my friend was so embarrassed, and he said, this is Dr. Fakir Mohan, you know, he's chairman of the Sanskrit department, you know, he's a Baba Bhakta, he's been chanting, you know, 64 rounds for 70 years, he's a Sangeetacharya. You know, and then Dr. Fakir Mohan corrected him. He said, this is our culture, right? And then he said, no, we feel it. So there's a natural state of the heart when one is in communion with God that makes one feel less naturally, but happily. Because it's like a divine connection. It's, you know, you're rooting for God. You know, that's your life. So it's kind of a divine connection. And it makes you feel less. And it makes you feel, you know, you're dependent. Without that connection, you have no energy. You have no life. So I think there are natural spiritual feelings. And they're difficult to kind of contact. The only way is to actually practice here and live life, which is moving to bring us in that situation. Anyway, thanks, Mooney. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you, Marsh.
Anybody else like to say hello, ask a question? Okay, anybody say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Gail. I'll ask a question and then I'll mute my phone, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, you said before that the happiness of the soul and Krishna is the same. I was just wanting to confirm that, yes, it's the same happiness, but just from different perspectives, as you often say, right?
I didn't hear you. Your connection is not so good.
Oh.
You still have that old phone, Gail?
My dumb phone, yes. Anyway. You still can't hear me, Maharaj?
It's so muddled. Say it again.
Okay, all right. Okay. The happiness of Krishna is the same as our happiness.
Yes.
But
because
just from different angles, right? Just from different perspectives, right?
Yes, that's the same point I make again and again. The motherly love is an energy, and the same energy is experienced by the child and the mother, but from different perspectives. So God has a bliss potency and it's called bhakti. And he enjoys it from the hearts of the devotees. But for the devotee to give it to God, to God's pleasure, it has to flow in his own heart. So he experiences the same thing, and in our philosophy, he experiences even more. Because the lover experiences love more than the beloved. So God's perfection is to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to experience love from the standpoint of the lover, the devotee.
Yeah.
Okay, Gail? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other people like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna
Maharaj.
Nice class, thank you.
Thank you, so nice. Shadhanji and Kalatanji. Thank you.
Haribol.
I will see you in Bombay.
Oh, I'm very happy to hear that.
All right,
Krishna.
We'll have to spend together, okay?
Yes, wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you. So
thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Maharaj. This is Shannon.
Shannon. Hare Krishna. Shannon from where?
Maryland. Shannon Burnett.
What? Yes, okay. There's two Shannons. Yeah, Shannon, we're supposed to contact or speak sometime soon, okay? I sent you an email. Okay? Give me a time and we'll see if we can connect.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Good.
Thanks, Shannon. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, then we can end for now. Bunchakopa Tubya Shaka Facility.